This episode sponsored by We Feed Raw. This 4th of July, while you're grilling real food, why is your dog still eating processed filler? We Feed Raw makes it easy to upgrade your dog's bowl with complete, balanced raw meals made from high-quality meat and nutrient-rich organs, with no fillers and no artificial preservatives. It arrives frozen, ready to serve, and made to help your dog thrive from nose to tail. New customers can save $100. That's $50 off your first two boxes when you start a new meal plan subscription by July 7th. We Feed Raw makes feeding real raw meals easy with personalized plans delivered right to your door. Visit wefeedraw.com. That's WEFEEDRAW.com. We Feed Raw gives your best friend real food they'll love.
Just when you thought it would go away.
Fire Festival Part 2. 7 years ago, fans were scammed over the first one. They shelled out thousands for a luxury weekend of music performances on an island in the Bahamas. Instead, they got tents, wet mattresses, and cheese sandwiches.
You remember this? I can't believe it's 7 years already.
Do you remember that I went to vacation on the very same island and went and found the location and found one of those tents?
It's ridiculous.
They were still sitting there a year after this thing failed.
So if you don't remember, there was this luxury music festival organized by this guy. His name is Billy McFarland. He did it with the rapper Ja Rule. And it was supposed to be a party on an island that they would take over. And it was all going to be celebrities and rich people. And you were going to have luxury glamping tents and this high-end food. And then people started showing up. And it was not. It was a mess. And people paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go. And they basically had to call in help to get the people off the island.
It was like FEMA disaster tents that had been left over from a hurricane before there. And catering was done by locals that lost their shirts, lost tons of money on it. And it looked like, you know, basically lunch sandwiches in these boxes. When again, like you said, they were promised high end, you know, models walking around, hanging out between the tents, you know, rock stars and influencers all around you. And then the band started canceling.
Billy McFarland is the organizer of this second one. Fire Festival 2 is set for April the 25th.
Wait a minute. It actually has a date now. April 25th.
No, it had a date before. Billy McFarland's the guy who just got out of prison for fraud from the first one.
No,
it's the same guy.
No, I know it's the same guy. But now it has a date. Like, he kept talking about there's going to be a second one. There's going to be a second one. But we thought he was just nuts because he went to jail.
He's still nuts.
No, he was in jail planning Fire Festival 2 that's happening in April.
McFarland posted to social media it will be held on a private island off the coast of Mexico. Ticket prices range from $1,400 to over $1 million for certain packages.
That's right. I'd pay $1 million to see Blink 182 in a non-air-conditioned tent.
I just don't understand. Who gives $1 million and trusts this guy? Who went to jail for having this festival because he's going to do it again? It's a good premise. It's like Woodstock in a Caribbean island, and it's all beautiful people having the time of their lives. But you have to deliver on all those things if people are paying that amount of money to go and be a part of it. And can you really do that off the coast of Mexico on a random remote island?
Listen, they do concerts all the time at all-inclusive resorts all over Mexico, Dominican Republic, huge acts, huge DJs, big bands. You don't hear about them in the news. You know why? Because they go off without a hitch and Billy McFarland's not attached.
They've already sold 100 tickets. They've already sold 100 tickets.
Those are made up.
You
Good
think
luck.
So?
Oh. It's Billy McFarland posting on social media. There's nothing legitimate here.
I've got another confession to make. I'm your fool.
I don't know why I find it so heartbreaking that this happened.
I mean, you're right. You don't know Dave Grohl. You don't know his wife. You don't know his kids.
But I did listen to his book on audio, which made me feel very close to him because he narrated it himself. So, you know, when somebody's reading their memoir and they're saying it, it makes you feel like you know them for real.
Yeah, but you don't know him.
I guess I don't.
But it does, you know, it does stink, right? You'd like to think that there's somebody out there that seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah, Raven, producer John, producer Sean, in case you missed the big announcement that came a couple days ago, Dave Grohl, the lead singer from the Foo Fighters and founder, he says that he has cheated on his wife. He has fathered a baby out of wedlock, a little girl. He's going to take care of that little girl, raise her. And he's doing everything in his power to regain the trust of his wife of 21 years and his three daughters with her. Ouch!
Messy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, listen, you know what? Here's the part that bothers me a little bit more, to just be real, is like, You have this image of being a relatively nice guy. This thing happens. Okay, you come out and you say this. But is he saying this because he wants to be a good dad, because he wants to be a good man to all these kids? Or is he saying it because this girl was like, I'm going to blow up your spot. Like, you are the father of this child, and you're not going to be able to just not say anything.
But we're thinking about it. When it comes to confessions,
I've got another confession to make.
What if we made a few? Mm. Just, you know. One confession. If you're going to come clean on something, mm-hmm. what's it going to be? Sean, you're first.
Whoa.
All right. Whoa.
So aggressive.
Sprung
I'm,
on
I'm
you.
I'm going to say, and I'm going to get a lot of stuff for it, but I do not know the words to our national anthem.
What?
Yep.
Dude,
don't know them.
Come on.
Don't know them.
Go practice.
I don't know if I...
Seriously?
I think I'd probably mess up a few too, Sean.
No. The both of you. What do you... Come on. Right.
I mean, I know in general what we're
saying.
Thanks,
Fergie.
It's all very, very good.
In general.
I could do better than Fergie, though, I bet.
All right. All right. That. Producer John, what is your confession?
You guys are just terrible Americans. It's been a while since I've brushed my kids' teeth.
What?
It's been a while since I've made them do it.
Yeah.
What? We ran out of the kids' toothpaste a couple of months ago.
Months?
And I keep meaning to go back to CVS. And, sometimes with the water, yeah, but I just, he's five. They're all going to fall out.
You see this? I'm opening my app right now. I'm going to order you a delivery from CVS right now. We're going to make that happen.
The worst part is that I went to CVS like 2 days ago to get Metamucil.
What?
I still forgot to
look at
Anna's
face.
It's just, listen.
I can't even stomach that. They have to learn good hygiene now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, play Dave Grohl. It'll make you feel better.
Hold on. Yeah, Wait one second. Hold on.
I've got another confession to make.
Anna.
You are a fool, John.
Yeah,
go brush your baby's teeth.
It's true, yeah. I don't watch Bridgerton with my wife because I can't understand what they're saying.
You are receiving glowing reviews from Whistledown.
I ought to take to the stage.
Is it awful that I'm enjoying it?
My wild jealousy. We are awfully clever.
Indeed we are.
What'd they say?
I don't know either. Who? I try to watch it years ago when it first came out, and I was the only person that was like, I can't do this because I don't know what they're talking about,
what they're saying.
Right.
It's too much work.
It's
really?
Like they're saying, they have that accent, you don't understand what they're saying, and then the next thing you know, they're naked. I can't.
Wait a minute. Really, Raven? These guys are bad Americans. I might have my son taken away from me after this show, and you're over here talking about British accents. I expected something juicy.
They're
I
like,
really
oh, did odd ye, and I'm like,
disappointing.
It finally happened. The one thing that I thought would never happen at my home, the thing I thought we would never run out of.
What's that?
1-800-330-9999. What's the thing you should always have too much of at your house? Raven, we ran out of toilet paper. We almost got down to the last roll. But here's why I'm a dumb hypocrite. Ready? Whenever I go to like CVS or Walgreens, and I see the guy that's standing in line and all he has is the 4-pack of toilet paper, I think to myself, how did you get there? How did you get to the fact that you're doing the last minute run here to get toilet paper? Because everybody knows you got to get it at the big box stores in big bulk somehow. Otherwise, you're just going to keep running out.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, a 4-pack is never the thing that you're purchasing when it comes to toilet paper. What's that buy you? 3 hours?
Well, right. That's the emergency. We're out of toilet paper. And I am
Wait, you need it in the car? Like, you're going to need more than that either way by the time you get home.
So when I got down to the last roll this weekend, like, I didn't realize, and we're Costco members, so we buy it in bulk.
Yeah,
we have a lot. During the pandemic, remember it was like the big thing.
You couldn't get your hands on the right toilet paper or paper towels.
So, my dad is a restaurant guy. He owns restaurants. He's a chef. And I made him buy me the one-ply restaurant ones. Three boxes of
industrial.
300 each in there. We had toilet paper for years. We didn't even have to worry about it, but nobody wanted to use it in my house.
This is terrible.
Because it was the junk one.
Yeah.
But I had it as our emergency reserve, and I'm so cheap that I was like, we're going to finish this toilet paper before I go and buy the good stuff.
Well, I mean, that's a good idea. I mean, either way, if not, it's just going to sit there, and the mice are going to get to it at some point, right?
Yeah.
So, use it. But it is terrible toilet paper. I developed that same thing through the pandemic. Not toilet paper, though, but paper towels. There is no lie. Like, listen, I mean, like you said Costco, right? Costco, BJ's, whatever, the big box stores. When I go in there, I buy the whatever it is, 36 roll, select a size, mega roll thing. And I probably have 60 rolls of paper towels right now in my house.
There are two of us.
It's me and my wife.
There are things that you should always have too much of in your house so you never run out of it. You know what else I ran out of this weekend?
What's that?
Salt. Like, you know, like
who runs out of salt?
The blue one with the girl on it, the one that salty girl.
Yeah,
salt.
Martin.
Salt.
Yeah, salt.
Yeah.
Big salt.
Ran out of salt.
Yeah. How do you run out of salt?
I don't know.
No kind of salt? Like, because right now in my house, there's like four different kinds of salt.
No, we have the sea salt, but there's some things you can't make with that sea salt. Like, when you got to salt the water for your pasta, I thought my teenager Hayden was going to have a nervous breakdown. What am I supposed to do now, Mom? Right. I'm like, we're going to have to survive it, honey.
We've got table salt. We've got Himalayan salt. We've got sea salt. I mean, we got a lot of salt. You should have called me. I would have set you up.
Andrew, what's the thing that you should always have too much of in your house?
I'm going to say trash bags. Have you ever ran out of trash bags? There's nowhere to like temporarily put the trash.
That's a good one. Nothing makes me crazier than when we're out of trash bags.
You know, it used to be like when they were giving out plastic bags all over the place with the grocery store or whatever, you could bag, you know, you could get away for another hour or two. You could manage because you could tie those off and do like three or four of those outside. Now, depending on where you live, some stores aren't doing the plastic bags. So if you don't have those, you're right. There's nowhere to go. What, you got to find an old backpack or something? Is there an Amazon box out here? Somebody, help me out.
It's the worst. You got to put like 15 boxes in your basement.
You got to get in your car right now. That's what you got to do. You got to go to the store right now.
On our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, the one thing you should always have too much of in your house. Randy wrote Ziploc bags. That's a good one, too.
Mm.
I always have Ziploc bags, but they're never the right size that I need. It's like I want to freeze meat, but I only have the sandwich sizes. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
That's not thick enough anyways. We've got a drawer full, every size you can imagine. But when you run out of the one you need, terrible.
This weekend, it got crazy at my house. We got down to the last roll of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember a time, because I am so anal about everything, that ever has happened.
Yeah, it's like a single guy thing to happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's four people. You have a family. You have children.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be a better provider, Anna. You need to make sure that you always have toilet paper.
The one thing I did have was about 1,700 containers of baby wipes.
Oh.
So my backup plan was, we're going to go real luxury.
That's right.
Until mommy gets over to Walmart to get us some toilet paper.
You know, the pandemic triggered something in me. So my wife laughs all the time because I stack all sorts of different stuff. One of the things that I have tons of, dog food.
Mm.
If the zombie apocalypse comes, we're going to be able to bug out of the house, get out of there, head to the woods or off the grid or wherever we're going. And my dogs are going to eat just fine. They're not even going to know anything's wrong in the world.
Yeah, except until it runs out and you know what's going to happen.
Oh, no.
They're going to eat you.
They're not zombie dogs.
All right, 1-800-330-9999. What's the one thing at your house that you should always have too much of? Eleanor.
Toothpaste. There is nothing worse than waking up, getting ready for work. You find out there's no toothpaste. And then you go to the drawer and that drawer is empty. And what are you supposed to do? Like, you can't go to work without brushing your teeth, but also you don't have time because you didn't know it was missing. Nightmare. I usually just like kind of rinse my mouth out and just hope and pray that there's a piece of gum at the bottom of my purse and go to work. It's awful.
I also found that toothpaste, though, is never truly done. So if you have the tube, like even if things get dire, I could get enough out to feel like I've accomplished something.
I mean, once you've squeezing it, it'll give you another 3-4 days. And then after that, there's always cutting it. Once you cut it, you're in for a day or two there.
Yep. I have an entire bucket full of the samples from when I go to the dentist.
Oh, yeah. They give me all the time. That and the toothbrushes, too. I have those.
I bring those on vacation with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those are the ones I take so that I can just leave them there and whatever. But I also use them for emergency situations when we're out of toothpaste. Mike, how about you? What's the one thing you should always have too much of in your house?
Batteries.
What are you, my husband?
You got to have all sizes.
Oh.
All sizes.
All sizes, all types. It's, you know, the smoke alarm goes off at 3 a.m. in the morning. You know, when it does that beep telling you that it needs a new battery, you don't have a 9-volt, you need some of the torch, you got to have batteries all the time. I just buy them. I see them on special. I'm like, oh, I'll get a pack. My wife's like, we've got so many batteries. And we're like, but do we?
Is this a guy thing? Because my husband is the same way. We'll go to Costco. It'll be a normal day. We don't need batteries. Batteries are not on the list. He'll just walk by, but I better get some.
Yeah.
And he'll get like the Costco packs, so there's 7,000 in there. And I'll be like, we have so many. Why do we need more batteries? I can't even name 5 things in our house that run on batteries anymore.
You know why? Because you never have to switch out the batteries, because whenever it gets low, he handles it. All right? Big box stores figured it out. Sell us batteries in a big battery pack, because we want to check that box and act like we solved the battery problem forever. Bro, I'm so loaded up on batteries right now. I got the Costco pack of the circular batteries. The ones for your alarm, for your garage door opener, your key fob, everything. I got those.
Raven, name me five.
AirTags. The AirTags.
Okay. Guys, name me five things in your house right now that run on batteries.
I mean, your remotes. All your remotes everywhere run on batteries.
That's one.
There's a lot of remotes. I have like six remotes.
Same battery.
And they have AAA and AA. They're two different sizes.
This is ridiculous.
And then all the batteries, of course, for your cars. You got to have those. The wife's got her cars. Like, I mean, you need them. You need these batteries.
You're starting to realize that there's not that many batteries you need.
I have all these batteries. I replaced batteries and remotes this week. And we have flashlights. I got C batteries, D batteries, A, AAA. Oh, it's crazy.
Starbucks is bringing back old school. And I think that it might be what all these failing companies need to do.
What do you mean old school? Like how old school, Anna?
Okay, so if you've been following the whole Starbucks ordeal, they've been failing. They've had losses. They've been closing stores. They've had a really rough couple years.
Okay.
So they brought in the ultimate fixer. It's this guy named Brian Nickel. This guy is like the fourth CEO they've had in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And he is the guy who brought back Chipotle. He is the guy that saved Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. He is under 50 years old, and they bring him in, and they pay him a lot of money when these companies are in serious trouble.
And if you can't hear it in her voice, Anna Zapp is incredibly jealous.
I just think that he's a what a genius man he is. And he comes up with these ideas. And when he comes up with these ideas to save all these companies, which he has done and has a proven track record.
Sure.
When you hear his ideas, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
That makes sense.
But then it works.
Right.
Right. So what did he wake up with? And he was just like, I got to write this down on my notepad the other day because this is how I'm fixing Starbucks.
So yesterday was his second day as Starbucks chief.
Mm-hmm.
And he said in a letter to employees and customers that he wants to return Starbucks to its roots as a community coffee house.
Oh, we're going in the time machine, Anna.
Yep. He says he wants to bring it back old school. He wants to bring back comfortable seats. He wants it to become a for-here service where you get your coffee and you sit down again with your laptop. You talk to people. And now, you want to know why that's not reinventing the wheel? Because the original CEO, Howard Schultz, mm-hmm. from 1986.
A guy whose name we'll never remember.
Worth $3.3 billion.
Congratulations on your success, Mr. Schultz. I'm sure you smell fantastic.
How did he get people to invest in Starbucks originally?
No.
You know, I would bring investors to the two or three stores, and I would make sure there was a fair amount of people in the space. And that's when I started talking about the language of community and the third place. And that's what I saw in Italy. Of course, it was the romance of espresso, but it was the sense of community.
It's creating a place where people come together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this guy, Brian Nickel, wants to do, is bring it back to that.
Instead of, you know, quick pickup, quick run in, quick run out, that type of thing.
Right, because now we have the app. You put the order in on the app. You walk in. You look for your cup with your name on it. You walk out. Nope, not anymore.
No, I love it. Mm-hmm. So if we were going back old school, like, I mean, rewinding the clock or whatever, that's usually a pretty cool scenario. What would you do it for?
So if I was going to bring back something old school that I think would be great today, this week is a perfect example of it. On Monday Night Football was back.
Yeah.
Everybody was talking about that. Everybody was watching the game. Even if you're not a football fan like me, I'm not. But I turned the game on to see what was going on.
Okay.
Tuesday night was the debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was watching the debate and talking about the debate. And whether or not you like music or whatever, a lot of people were watching the MTV VMAs last night. And in my mind, it was fun to have things that we all watch together mm-hmm. again. And I liked it when we all watched Friends.
So
I
you want it. Less entertainment options.
I want less entertainment yep. options, and I want us to all be watching the same things and talking
four
about the
channels.
Same things.
That's what you want.
I mean, it was nice when it was like channel 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That was kind of it. I like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I mean, listen, if we're going retro, I mean, it makes us all sound old, but I'm with it too. It's like, I'd get rid of smartphones. I just feel like smartphones have changed so much. I'd keep GPS because I feel like there's a lot of people out there who have no idea. They never get to where it is they're going at this point in life if they didn't have GPS. But I want flip phones and pagers back. I just feel like that would be also. I mean, if we're doing total wish list, I would make Reese's peanut butter cups the same size as they were in 1986 because everybody knows they're super small at this point now. But,
all right.
But I mean, that's what I would do.
Right. So pretty soon you're going to be back at Starbucks sitting in that chair with the laptop for 13 hours claiming your seat once again.
No laptop. I mean, if you did, it weighed like 30 pounds. I'm telling you, you have a pager and you're waiting for a code.
I don't know if I want to go back to the beeper era. I'm not sure about that one.
Come on, 1-4-3.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
When Animals Attack Week.
That's oh, I love it.
Yep. Three animal attacks this week, three stories. Raven gets to pick which one you're going to hear.
Here's the thing. When animals attack, typically humans deserve it. But go ahead, lay it on me. What do you got?
Number one, jogger left bloodied after mauled by gang of otters.
Oh. Wow, okay. Where are you jogging? What else you got?
Number two, woman bitten by alligator while walking her dog punches it in the face.
I mean, if you don't think that I got that in my algorithm already, you're crazy.
Number three, wild raccoon attacks guests while waiting in line at amusement park.
Here's the thing about raccoons, man. They street, all right? You got to know that about a raccoon. You can't mess with them. I'm going to go with otters because this one feels a little bit out of place.
I'm so glad you picked that one because this is fascinating. Okay. And I think a lot of people don't realize this.
Let's go to the jungle. Where were they?
So the story that happened is it happened in Malaysia. So it happened like a million miles away.
Oh, yeah. So you can't count on that.
Wait.
Okay.
It gets crazier. So a woman was left crying in a pool of her own blood after getting savaged by a gang of otters in Malaysia.
What do you know about otters?
Not much, except that I think they're really cute when I get to see them places, mm-hmm. and that they play and they're joyful and love each other.
Except for they're not cute when they get messing around with humans. They're a bit aggressive. What happened?
So if you haven't seen this video yet that's been trending, she was running and then these eight otters jumped her. They jumped her at the park.
What?
Yeah. And then you see them running away in a gang through a parking lot. It's the most wild thing. But I went online and I was trying to find like audio of like the woman talking about what happened and all that. And I couldn't find that, probably because it was Malaysia.
Yeah.
But I could not believe the amount of stories of otter attacks that have happened here in America.
Okay.
Like this one.
This woman is lucky to be alive after surviving a river otter attack on her 37th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, nice. Good time.
Can you imagine? It's your birthday.
Yeah.
You're having a lovely time with your friends. Mm-hmm. And here come the otters.
Oh, boy.
This thing was vicious and relentless, she writes on Facebook. It bit my face in several places, both of my ears, my arms, my hands, my legs, my thighs, and my ankle.
Nice.
I mean, what? This otter was not letting go.
I mean, this otter is ready to take you down. I mean, he's like, I'm going to find your soft spot, and I'm going to find the spot where I can get you on the ground, then I'm going to pin you, and I'm going to eat your face.
Except they're in the water, so now she's trying to swim while this thing is attacking her.
What?
Jen Royce says she and her friends were tubing down the Jefferson River in Montana when they came upon the vicious critter. The attack went on for 5 agonizing minutes before Jen and her friends were able to swim to shore.
It gets even crazier, Raven, because these otters have been terrorizing surfers all along the California coast.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing, Anna. All right, otters are in the water. It's their home. This woman in Malaysia was jumped by them walking in a park. That's a little bit different there. That says organized crime to me, all right? You know, when you're in the river, all we know is this Jen on her birthday went into the river otter's living room. Maybe she disrupted his children or something. We don't know.
Funny you should bring up the babies. That's what the otter experts say.
Thank you.
Otters are a pretty territorial animal, especially if it was a mom protecting her young. A lot of times they will do everything and anything they can to get a threat away. Whether or not the individual was a threat or not, the otter doesn't understand that. They are not the cute and cuddly animals that social media wants you to think they are.
We should fear the otters.
Oh, yeah.
That should be the plan.
Yeah, respect is the word that I would say.
Okay.
Respect.
Worst insect situation you've ever had at your house. 1-800-330-9999.
This is what's taking place in my life.
Explain the spider situation.
You mean the millions of spiders we have in our backyard?
Yeah.
We have a million spiders and you won't take care of it. What situation is there? They're everywhere. They're tiny, teeny ones that you can barely see, and then there's some as big as my hand. This has been a problem since we've moved in. The neighbors all said that they used to have to spray here for the spiders because they were so out of control.
You know, I don't want to be dramatic, Anna, all right? But, you know, my wife, she's not necessarily wrong. We have a lot of spiders at my house. I don't know why it is. We get them all around the pool area. We have a large deck. They're out there. They're along the fence line and all that. We've cut down all our trees. The crazy thing is, if you talk to our neighbors, they're like, oh, yeah, they talk about our house as if it was haunted or something. Like, there's always been a spider problem there. And I'm like, what? They've never lived there. They don't know. They're like, oh, yeah, the old owners, they had to spray all the time. Spiders all over your place. I don't know what's going on.
It's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, well, tomorrow it's Friday the 13th, and I've got the Spider-Man coming out to the house. I handle business, thank you.
So, okay, first of all, you didn't think it was weird to have them come on Friday the 13th, which I think is probably just fuel. What if
Listen.
What if the spiders basically form a union.
Yeah.
And now they've decided to get you back because it's Friday the 13th and they're going to multiply. Mm-hmm. And now they're not just going to be in your backyard. They're going to be in your bed.
I mean, you believe that the spiders, let me get this straight, unionize. And then they're going to, I mean, they're making babies anyways. They're spiders. It's that time of year. And Friday the 13th, that's when he had the hole in his schedule. That's when he offered to get there. I called him last week. It's not good. I got to tell you. I do try not to get like crazy about it, and I try not to go around squashing spiders and stuff like that. But some of them have been really large. And here's what I know. You kill one, another one is right there in its place.
Right. No, they're going to unionize. I told you.
No, it's just
all of them.
It's like a void created by it.
Like, you killed my cousin? Watch, I'm coming for you, too. But you don't get them. They don't get into your house?
I mean, we get some in the house, but not a lot. Like, one or two will slip through from time to time. Usually not large. There have been a couple, but usually not large. But outside, a lot. And we just got a regular yard, man. It's not like I live in the middle of the boonies or something like that. There's been a house there for 70 years. Spiders, take notice. This land is not your land.
When insects come to your home and they infest and they do things, it is alarming because it's like you don't even see it. And the next thing you know, they're there. We had a knock on. Everybody knock on wood. Knock on wood. Last summer, we had three white-faced hornet's nests on our property.
Scary.
Yeah, the bushes in front of our house. All of a sudden, I'm outside with the dog, and I look over, and I hear bzzz.
Yeah.
And you assume that it's like bees or something like that.
Sure.
I'd never seen anything like it. These things were the size of my thumb, and there was like a million swarm, and they had these dots on their face,
yes.
And they were white and black, and I looked at them, and I was like,
They were terrifying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you immediately knew that it was time for you to run.
I got my dog, and I went inside.
Very noble of you.
Oh, I called my pest control company, and I was like, you got to get out here right away. And then there was two more that summer. There was three of them all together last summer, and it was awful.
That seems like a lot.
But they know what to do. They came and they took it away, and then they were gone.
Right, that's their job.
Yes, guess so.
Yeah, they deal with that. It's the same as the guy that shows up tomorrow to deal with my spiders. That's his job.
Except it's Friday the 13th tomorrow. What was the insect issue that you had? 1-800-330-9999.
What if I don't see him leave, and then his truck is out there like the next day?
He's going to be like molded on the side of your house in a web.
I think I've seen that movie before.
When insects attack. Well, not necessarily, but when they do infest, it's pretty awful, right?
Yeah, my wife thinks that the spiders are going to attack. We've got a lot of spiders around my house, you know, and with the weather this year, it just seems like there's more than ever. But I got the pest guy coming out tomorrow on Friday the 13th.
Which I said probably wasn't a good idea because it was just going to antagonize them, make them more angry, and then they were going to infest inside your house too.
I don't think insects have calendars.
1-800-330-9999. When do the insects infest your house? Nick?
We had a serious, serious roach issue, and they were the babies. They were like the little ones, so you know that they were multiplying. And when the exterminator came, the part of the wall was literally moving. That's how many there were.
Oh my gosh!
No, I'm leaving.
That is, you have to move or burn down the house.
You can't get rid of them. I mean, there's always going to be something coming back at that point.
You can. It's just like...
You got to do the entire house.
Years. It takes years, and it's, oh, gosh. You have to move out for a while it's being done.
No,
there's
no
way
thanks.
You can survive that.
Yeah, no thanks.
How long did it take for them to actually completely get them out?
They came every 2 weeks for about 2 months, and it was fine for about 3 months, and then it came back.
Yeah.
It was horrifying.
Yeah, no, you got to go. You got to go. And when it comes back, like, you're heartbroken. Like, you see the first one, and you're like, you're crying.
Right.
No, you have to leave. You have to leave.
So sorry that happened to you.
Diana, tell us about your insect problem.
So, I have a bearded dragon, and he eats crickets. And, you know, it's not a big deal. Everything's normally fine. But I had to leave town 10 days, and I asked my sister to watch him for us. She decided to go buy way too many crickets, let them all loose by accident. I don't even know how many crickets, but I can still hear them in my dreams.
Yeah, the sound.
Crickets are elusive, man. They get out of those cages anyways. They get out. You keep them in like in a little aquarium thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I just release the bearded dragon.
Let them figure
it
out.
Let them hunt.
Yeah.
Let them hunt, boy.
It's like a fun game of hide and go seek in your family room.
Get up there and hunt.
But you hear them like in the walls. You hear them behind you. I don't even know how you would sleep at night. My skin would crawl thinking about it.
You hear them in your mind, too. So that's one of the biggest things is when I'm walking around my backyard. Like, we just have all these tall trees around our property. There's spiders, man. This year there has been so many spiders. Spider webs. They're dropping out of the trees. They're coming up the shed or whatever. You kill one or you knock one down or whatever, you feel like it's all over you. Right? You feel like you're walking around with the web all over you. It's terrible.
Ian, what was the gross insect infestation you had to deal with?
Ugh. Okay, last spring, my girlfriend has all these plants in our bathroom. And when spring came and it started heating up, we had a ladybug infestation in the bathroom. And they'd kind of be cool and chilling out on the plants, but when we turned on the shower and it got extra steamy in there, they'd all get excited and fly around in the bathroom. And, I mean, it was like they just went all over you. It was disgusting.
100%. The thing about ladybugs is that you think they're pretty and you love them, but when there's an infestation of them, because I've had a few of them or I've seen them, there's disgusting.
Millions.
They come out of nowhere. There's so many of them. They're crunchy, so you can't really get rid of them. Because, you know, they're like...
Oh, you're not supposed to kill them. You know, you're not supposed to kill them. It's to good luck and all that.
Listen, there's almost so much chewing out of my house I can do. Like, get out of here. No. I don't even know how you got in here in the first place.
I'm with you. It's too much.
Yep. Here's a sentence that I'd never thought I would never say ever. Mm. Jon Bon Jovi saved a woman from jumping off a bridge. It is crazy, this story, and it's incredible. He was filming a video on a bridge in Nashville when he noticed that there was a woman contemplating suicide. She was on the bridge, like on the other side of like the barrier, and he was able to walk over to her, convinced her not to jump, helped her off the ledge.
Yeah, it was him and one other person. I believe I saw some video, but but I think it was him and another person helped this woman off the ledge. But listen, what can you say? Right place, right time, and taking a moment to be a person, right? Like so many other people, if somebody said, listen, there's something going on over here, there's somebody threatening this or whatever on themselves, how many people would have just said, oh gosh, I hope they're all right, and then walked away, went to their trailer, went to some place where they, you know, could be removed from that.
Getting
proactive, getting proactive, getting involved, and again, great result.
And it turns out he has experience speaking with individuals like this who are going through crisis because of his foundation, the JBJ Soul Foundation. Mm. So he has a little bit of training and knew what to do.
I mean, he physically helped this woman climb back over the fence onto the bridge. So commendable job. Say what you will about the man, but you know, a right place, right time, and again. You just never know what impact you can have on somebody if you just open your eyes and open your mouth and then see what happens from there, right?
Yeah.
So great job, Jon Bon Jovi.
Also happening last night that's been all over the news and trending is the MTV VMAs. Now, there's a million different side stories, but the two big takeaways were, one, Katy Perry got the Video Vanguard Award, which is basically like the...
Lifetime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And... her performance, 10 minutes, was incredible. And I'm always the person that after I watch a Super Bowl halftime show or whenever I watch a big show, I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah,
it was okay. She was unbelievable. She did such a great job. There was so many changes and she's flying and she's doing flips and she's and there the stages are changing. It was pretty awesome. And then she gets off the stage, she finishes her performance, she gets the award from her husband, Orlando Bloom, and she says this.
Thank you. I did that all on my first day of my period, too. Can you believe it?
Me and my daughter just burst out laughing.
She's getting a lot of flack lately, man. She really is. And you know what? Here's the thing is, like you said, I think people forget like how good she was. Like, you remember the album where she did Firework. Like, she was everywhere doing every show, and she was nailing all of it.
She's the only artist to have 5 singles off one album be a number one hit. That's a lot.
And as often as Taylor Swift comes out with an album, and as big as it is, doesn't that sound still surprising?
Yeah, and you want to know what? I didn't want to play the rest of her speech, and you could certainly go on YouTube and watch it later if you didn't.
Yeah.
There was an edge in her voice, and she said, like, you know, don't listen to what people tell you about being to this or being to that. And it was almost like she was saying to everybody that's been giving her a lot of slack lately, like, back off.
Right, like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Because then I'm going to start firing some flames back your way.
And then there was Taylor Swift. It was her big night. She won basically a lot of awards, became the most decorated...
I mean, she's Taylor Swift.
...award winner in history. She got up and she said this.
I would always just hear, like cheering and like, woo, from across the studio where we were shooting it. And that one person was my boyfriend, Travis. Everything this man touches turns to happiness and fun and magic. So I want to thank him for adding that to our shoot.
It was so that was nice. But all I kept thinking is it's really weird when you're over the age of 17 to refer to somebody as your boyfriend. Doesn't it just seem like you get too old to call, like, you should,
okay,
your partner, right? It's like,
okay,
it's your partner.
Right.
I mean, doesn't boyfriend.
Let her say boyfriend. Okay, she's right. Taylor Swift.
All right, I'm just saying, like, this is my partner. This is my significant.
Okay, thanks, Mom.
Okay.
That's
right.
Great.
Okay. If you're a bartender, can you just call real quick, 1-800-330-9999? Raven, I was at dinner this past weekend with my husband. We had a date night. It was his birthday.
Wow, good for you. Fancy time.
Now, one of our favorite things that we like to do is we like to sit at bars when we go out to restaurants. Because I don't know, because my husband is very social. Oddly, you would think it's me that's social. It's not me. It's him. Like, he likes to talk to people. He likes to talk to the bartender. And the first time we encountered this, we went to a new restaurant. And the bartender was not into us. She was.
Is that right?
She did not want to talk to us. She seemed like annoyed. And it took us almost until our dinners got served for her to like warm up to us. She came around.
Realized that she was going to have to serve you one way or the other.
Right. And then like she started cracking jokes and I'm like, we broke her, babe. We got her. Like she's good now. And I started thinking about it and I was like, I just assume that if you sit at the bar, like you get it. Like people are there to talk to you, but maybe not. Maybe bartenders are annoyed by that. 1-800-330-9999. Christina, are you a bartender?
Yes, I have. I currently bartend Friday nights.
When customers keep talking to you, is that annoying or is that part of the job?
I think it depends. If I'm like really busy and they see like other customers are waiting for drinks and they're just keep going talking, it could be annoying. But most of the time I'm just like, all right, I'll be right back. I got to wait on somebody else and they understand. And if not, too bad for them.
Yeah, like if somebody's monopolizing your time, that's one thing, right? But if somebody else is like agreeable and sees that you're doing your thing, that's more understandable.
Right.
Do you rank conversations at the bar? Like if somebody is more interesting that you get over there, but this other person was, you know, they were kind of interesting or whatever. Do you stay with the more interesting?
I think I just go to where like
the
I'm
drink
needed.
Is needed. Right.
So, yeah. I don't like to keep customers waiting for drinks. So
at the bar that you work at, do you serve food at the bar too?
Yeah.
Are you annoyed when people want to eat at the bar or do you like it?
I like it because it jacks the bill up more.
Right. Exactly.
Get that money, girlfriend.
All right. Thanks, Christina. We appreciate it. Austin, are you a bartender?
I am.
If you are working, people just start talking to you. Is that annoying or do you enjoy that and think it's part of the job?
It's a bit of both. It's annoying when there's a rush, but it is part of the job and that's your tip. So you have to play over the annoying.
I'm thinking to myself, it depends on the person a lot of times too, right? Like, I mean, some people are more interesting.
Do you get annoyed when people ask you what drink you're making?
Yeah, more like how I'm making it. They're like, oh, so what ratio are you doing with that? Oh, why are you doing that? And it's like, I mean, if you want to come behind the bar, that's totally, you can just make the drink. We can switch positions here. But yeah, when they get really didactic about like, how much you're putting in or why you're not using this ingredient. I'm like, we don't have whatever top shelf liquor you're asking for. You can go talk to my boss. But again, you say it all with a smile.
I've learned this trick, and this is from what happened over this weekend, is that if you make friends with the bartender and you ask them about the drinks, but not like in a weird way, being like, why are you doing it that way? Be like, oh, what are you making? But like, oh, that looks incredible. They'll give you a shot glass full of it left over from
little sample.
The strainer. We got espresso martini. We got some of that. We got some bourbon thin going on. We tried a gin thing that was delicious. I was like, people should know to do this because you get to try and sample. It's like going to a tasting, except you're just sitting at the bar having dinner.
Or being 8 years old and begging for the leftovers every time they make a milkshake at
whatever.
Your local parlor.
What do we got to do?
Insane.
Whatever.
It's a, what's that? Yeah. Oh, what'd you put in it this time? M&M's, gummy bears? Great.
Is that limoncello? Oh, my gosh. Did you guys make that here?
Oh,
I love limoncello.
Oh,
thank you.
Invented you. It. Oh.
I would love a sample. Thank you.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's just up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's #1 gutter protection system. Jen and Paul. Jen, what's going on?
Yes, we discovered that our 14-year-old son had been stealing from his big brother for like the last 2 to 3 months. And I am adamant about he needing counseling. If he had never got pressed, he never would have admitted that he'd been doing it. I'm noticing a pattern there. I think there's a bigger problem. He'd been taking his friends out to dinner. So is he being pressured by his friends, peer pressure, that he's not willing to confess to us? I'm suggesting therapy, and my husband, Paul, is not.
Paul, what's your side of this?
Look, it's bad. I get it. I mean, he'd stole $250, honestly, a lot more money than I would have expected. But he's a kid, right? And they're brothers. This is kind of brother stuff. I think we ground him, you know, we make him do chores and pay him a little bit, and he has to pay back his brother. He learns the consequences of an action. But I really don't want to send him to therapy. I mean, I think this is something we can handle on our own. This is something kids do. He learns the consequences of his actions. If we send him to therapy, he's going to develop all these phobias. It's going to, like, mess with his head. We can handle this. We don't need to overreact.
Did anybody ask him why he did it?
That's the thing. He don't have no excuse. He was also getting an allowance. So it's like you're double dipping. Why would you take additional money from your brother to go and treat your friends? If our son never would have got caught, how long would he have kept it up?
Well, I mean, when you're stealing, you'll keep going until you get caught. That's typically the way.
Yeah, until his brother noticed.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when you're stealing, shoplifting, anything like that, you're really not going to say anything typically until you get caught. Like, we're trying to think of noble reasons or acceptable reasons why somebody it is that they swipe something from somebody. And besides being starving, there's really no noble reasons. There's no time where thievery makes sense. However, it's a thing that a lot of kids do at one point or another. It's not like at 14 you can work. I agree with you. It's a serious situation, Jen. But it's also not something that I expect a kid to come and confess to me about. But Paul, I don't agree with the fact that sending him to therapy is going to have him develop phobias. But I might agree with the fact that you can handle it in-house. Do you ever swipe something from one of your... You know what? You were the oldest.
I'm the oldest, so it's different. Now, did they ever take anything from me? I don't know. I think about my little one and my big one. I mean, they're 10 years apart. So she takes her toys all the time. Like, my little one takes the big one's toys.
Sure.
I mean, this is different. Stealing money versus stealing a teddy bear and saying that I want this to be mine now is a different ball game.
Yeah. As far as a reason, nobody ever has a reason.
Right. Really what it comes down to is, do you think that having a 14-year-old stealing from his big brother is reason enough to send him to therapy?
Handle it in-house or handle it with a therapist.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If you found out that your younger son was stealing from his older brother, your older son, how would you handle it? Oh, that's what's happening between Jen and Paul. They're having a disagreement because Jen says, that's it. He's 14 years old. He's been stealing from his brother for months, hundreds of dollars. And you know what? We have to send him to therapy to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, but Paul says, listen, this is a big deal. No question about it. This is a bad situation. But we ground him, right? We give him chores. We make him pay back his brother. We make him understand that this is not a bigger problem or it's not going to be allowed or tolerated. We don't need to bring somebody else into our home.
What do you think? Is this a big enough deal that you bring in extra help? You bring in somebody from the outside? 1-800-330-9999. Danielle, whose side do you on?
I'm on the dad's side. I think you can handle it in-house. I think if he does it again, then you can consider something like therapy or something more serious. But give him a real serious consequence, handle it at home, and, you know, take it from there.
I think there's something to be said about every time there's a problem, you're going out of house. You're sourcing out somebody else to take care of it, right? Like, you have to handle issues inside your house.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If you found out that your 14-year-old son was stealing from his older brother a lot of money over a period of months, how would you discipline them? That's what's going on the couples court today. Couples court verdict is powered by Secret's whole body deodorant. Some secrets are okay to tell, like how using Secret whole body deodorant gives you 72 hours of freshness and more than just your armpits. Use it in sticks, sprays, or creams.
Jen and Paul's 14-year-old son has lifted about $250 from his 17-year-old brother over the past 3 to 4 months. They just found this out, and Jen thinks that this is a call for them to go to therapy. She wants to find out what's the root of this problem. But Paul says, listen, this is the first time. It's not good, but we can handle this discipline. We don't need to necessarily take them to therapy at this point.
What do you think? Would you send your child to therapy if you found out this was happening? 1-800-330-9999. Carla, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on her side. The fact that this kid has been stealing for months, it's not a one-time, like, oh, let me just get a quick candy. This is clearly a cry for help, and it sounds to me like they need a family therapy session to kind of deal with what's going on, because he's stealing from his brother, not his parents, not his friends, specifically the brother. So I'm definitely on her side on this.
Hey there, Rob, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Yeah, I'm on his side. I think they're a little too young for the therapy. I think they just need to handle that in-house.
I don't know if I necessarily believe there's such a thing as too young. Well, I think if there's something you can't handle, there's nothing wrong with getting some help.
Well, I mean, I totally agree with that. I think that a lot of times, though, when kids are acting out, I know certainly when I was younger, it's like you want your parents to pay attention, right? Like that's who it is the message is for. And if you feel like your parents are brushing you off to somebody else because they either feel unqualified, when you're a kid, sometimes you just feel like they're uninterested. And that's important.
Right. I also, this is a first-time offense from what we understand.
Right.
I think that now that it's on the parents' radar, you keep watching. And if it happens again, now you have a bigger conversation to have. But the first time, that's a big jump for the first time.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Paul, our audience agreed with you today. This is certainly not great, needs to be addressed, but a majority of the audience thought if this was really the only problem and thing that had happened and it was an isolated incident, then this is certainly something that you guys can control and discipline yourselves, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. And if it does, then you can revisit seeing a therapist.
That's great. I'm glad people agree with me. Yeah, I mean, it happened at home. We have the ability to take care of it ourselves. We're parents. This is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to teach our kids, and we will. He's a good kid.
Think that this is a situation where when things like this happen, you don't need to always go out of the house for some sort of professional, right? Because you need to show your kids that you can handle your household and that you are in control and that you have knowledge of these things happening. I get it, Jen, where this gives you some pause, but there's nothing worse for me as a kid, as I can remember, as the disappointment in my mother's face, right? So you need to sit down. Let him know why this is wrong. You need to let him know why it is that you're so concerned about this, Jen. And then you guys divvy up the punishment. The important thing is that you guys be united talking with your son about this.
I agree. Me and my husband, we can sit down and talk to him together.
You can handle
and work on it in-house.
Right. You can handle it.
So. Tell you what, he is going to be grounded.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, and as he should be, and as you mentioned before, he should be paying back his brother, and he should be working off some of this punishment with you guys too. He needs to understand that this is not okay. You should open the door to him that if he has something else that's going on that's upsetting him, therapy is available to him. But this could be a typical 14-year-old. Oh, I saw the cash, and I'm going to see what I can get away with, and me and my friends went and hung out, and whatever. You know,
you have a problem too? Send an email: couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $100. Thanks to NHTSA, crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Hey, Eric, you ready to play today?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Raven's going to walk out of here. That door is going to close, and he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions, Eric. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Sure.
Number one, the top 3 places to visit when you're on a budget include South Africa, Vietnam, and Portugal. What's the capital of Portugal?
Lisbon.
Number 2, Fyre Fest 2 is supposedly happening in April off the coast of Mexico. Where did the first failed festival take place?
Cancun.
Number 3, Larry David announced that he'll have an upcoming comedy tour in a new unenthusiastic video. What is the name of the HBO show where he starred as a fictionalized version of himself?
Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Last night were the MTV VMAs, and they made Taylor Swift the most decorated winner in history. She also took home the Video of the Year prize, too, on top of all the others. Katy Perry was the Video Vanguard recipient. And what artist was named Best New Artist?
I don't know.
Number
Drake.
Five.
I have no idea.
Drake? Okay. Number five, Madonna made a surprise appearance and performance in New York Fashion Week. New York Fashion Week is held twice a year, once obviously in September, and once in what other month?
June.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. Here we go.
Yo.
So Eric got 2 out of 5.
Okay, Eric, great job. Here we go. $100.
Number one, the top three places to visit when you're on a budget include South Africa, Vietnam, and Portugal. What is the capital of Portugal?
Lisbon.
That's right. Portugal, actually, one of the hot spots right now. People are really into visiting there, and it's on my list, too.
That's beautiful. The motherland.
Number two, Firefest 2 is supposedly happening in April off the coast of Mexico. Where did the first failed festival take place?
Exuma in the Bahamas.
That's right. Number three, if you want to get your tickets, they're going to range from $1,400 to $1.1 million, and maybe you'll get your cheese sandwich in a random FEMA tent to sleep in.
Start saving now.
Yep. Number three, Larry David announced that he will have an upcoming comedy tour in a new unenthusiastic video.
Of course, I expect nothing less.
What is the name of the HBO show where he starred as a fictionalized version of himself?
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Correct. Number four, MTV VMAs were last night, making Taylor Swift the most decorated winner in history, and she took home the big prize, too, Video of the Year.
Yeah.
Katy Perry was the Video Vanguard recipient.
Mm-hmm.
And what artist was named Best New Artist?
Chappell Roan, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Number five, and she also had she rented a rug for her to walk on the red carpet that was 600 years old, and she wore a cape that was 300 years old. And I just wondered, where do you get that? Where do you rent that? She says it was the most expensive rental she ever did in her life.
I mean, probably like a vampire is where I'm guessing you find that.
Right. Number five, Madonna made a surprise appearance and performance at New York Fashion Week. New York Fashion Week is held twice a year, once in September and once in what other month?
February?
Yes.
Whoa, look at me.
Wow. Woo. That was impressive. All right, 5-2 today, Eric. That'll get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
It is Eric, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that chirp, bro. $200 tomorrow, Anna.